Keep your Bibles open. Don't put them to one side. If you're sat next to someone who hasn't got one, share it with them. One thing I always find is that it's good to keep the person who's doing the talk accountable for what they're saying. Check out what they're actually saying is real, is true. So we've been looking at the last three Sundays at the coming judgment, a section of the Bible in Matthew's account of the story of Jesus, where Jesus tells his disciples some illustrations to show them how they ought to live if they know Jesus as their Savior and their friend. If you've missed any of those, I actually really encourage you to go onto the church website and download them. I think they've been really helpful. I think they've been really good to hear some encouragement and some challenges if you are a Christian. It's been challenging to hear about the coming judgment of mankind and how we should respond to it. So this morning is the last of what Jesus has to say to his disciples about this before he died on the cross. And this morning we'll be looking at this. And I've titled it, "How You Treat Others Reveals Whether You Are a Sheep or a Goat, Whether You Are Going to Heaven or to Hell." And that's quite a statement, I guess. So let's look at this. So what are we looking at this morning? Is this on? So what we're looking at this morning, we're looking at the coming judgment. We're going to ask the question, am I a sheep? We're going to see that our identity as sheep is revealed by what we do. We'll see that then our desire is that we should want to be identified as Jesus' sheep. And then we'll look at, I suppose, a harder question maybe, am I a goat? And therefore, what does that mean for you? So the coming judgment. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. Here we have it. Jesus telling us of the coming judgment. It is coming. It is something that is going to take place. The coming judgment of all mankind as he puts himself right at the forefront to his listeners. The first time the Son of Man appeared on earth, he was a little baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, in a manger, in a stable, in a non-important kind of little village out in the middle of nowhere that no one cared about. Whereas this is a stark contrast. Here he comes majestically, coming in glory and superb splendor. The glorious host of angels that is surrounding him, and the king sits on his throne. It's not a throne anyone has seen before. It's more splendid and majestic and beautiful. It's the judgment seat. There's no messing around from this first sentence. You know who's in charge, who will be making that call on the final day. Verse 2, all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Everyone will be there. All the nations will be gathered before him. I guess before, if we know kind of Jewish history or whatever, there was Israel. There was this nation that God had kind of separated apart from everyone else, and the nations were all the other things. But here we have this. There is no kind of like, oh, you know, Israel is on the right and the nations are on the left. No, this is everyone before Jesus. Everyone. There's no distinct partition depending on how you were born. He does not say Israel is on the... Oh, I've already read that. For once, this is not about Israel, the lone nation loved by God. Every single person, from the time began to the end of the world, every single person, man, woman, gay, bisexual, heterosexual, black, Asian, white, free, slave, rich, poor, middle class, well-educated, illiterate, benefit seeker, asylum seeker, conservative, socialists, Christians, Catholics, Muslims, Jews, Hindus, from every nation will stand before Jesus. I mean, you could quite easily be stood amongst, well, you've got Michael Gove, Abraham, the Chuckle Brothers, Shaka Khan. We can laugh, but they're all going to be there. And we're all going to be equal, indistinguishable, almost. And he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. We'll be divided into sheep and goats. For the Jewish listener, Jesus' use of sheep and goats would have been thought-provoking up until this point. The sheep and goats were used quite equally in Jewish sacrificial offerings. There's no view, really, in the Old Testament that either were more significant than the other. They were essential to the livelihood of the first century. But whereas our sheep in this country are quite easy to identify, they're big, they're fluffy, in the Middle East, that wasn't the case. Middle Eastern sheep aren't as fluffy. So when you look from a distance, you can't really tell what the difference is to that of Middle Eastern goats. And in the same way, the whole of created human population, when stood in front of Jesus at the end of time, will look like a sea of indistinguishable people. However, a shepherd knows his flock. He knows what to look for. John 10, 14, verse 15. It's an obvious sheep-related verse, but it's there. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep. There are distinguishing features that stand out to the good shepherd. Goats have hair, sheep have wool, goats have tails that stand up, sheep have tails that go down, and there are differences in eating habits and personality traits too. And another thing I guess the listeners would have thought about is in those times, as night drew in, they would have separated the sheep from the goats and herded them into their relevant pens. So there's this imagery, and Jesus' disciples would have understood it. So, begs the question, doesn't it? Am I a sheep? What's the difference between a sheep and a goat? Which one am I? I guess should be the question on our minds. This is the difference between going to heaven and hell, is what's been identified from what Jesus has said. In the words of the great songwriter Steeler's Weald, goats to the left of me, sheep to my right, here I am, stuck in the middle with you. Except, no, there's no middle ground. There's no half-breed sheep goats. You're in one camp or the other. And Jesus puts his sheep on the right, and he's going to make sure that there's no goats left mingling about the sheep, and equally there's not going to be any sheep left with the goats. You could look around this morning and ponder, are there some goats among us? How many of us are actually real sheep sat here? Are some of us in this church pretending to be sheep? I guess the question is, which one are you? So how does Jesus distinguish between his sheep and his goats? He gives his listeners another image to think about. Here we are, picking up on verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and yet you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was ill, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. And I liked how Pete read this. Then the righteous will answer, well, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger, invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison or go to visit you? And the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. Our identity is revealed by what we do. From Jesus' description in this tale of judgment, he could be quite easily led into thinking that if we do good things, if we're charitable to people less fortunate than ours, then that's our ticket into heaven. That's kind of if you just glance at it, yeah, lovely, that's kind of what it's saying. In preparing for this talk, I read quite a lot of blogs and listened to some sermons and things, and I was shocked at the amount that kind of, well, said just that, really. Good works, charity, entrance into heaven. Good on you. And that actually made me very sad to see this. I was sat in bed. I told my wife, Rachel, I just finished reading one. I keep reading these blogs where people have got this passage completely wrong. My wife has a great ability to just cut to the chase. She turned and said, well, what makes you think you're right? It's a good question. It's a good question. And I'll be honest, I'm not 100% certain of everything in this passage. I've spent time looking at it, and I'll tell you what I think the other people have missed when they've been looking at it. And after the service, if you kind of disagree with me or you want to go over things a bit further, then I'm willing to kind of chat and see what we can kind of come up with. So there are two areas. Our identity is revealed by what we do, but that's not our way into heaven. What I do on this earth gets me into heaven. I know this one for 100%. This is not true. Jesus is not saying work hard, do lots of nice things for people less fortunate than yourselves, be generally a nice person, and you'll earn your way into heaven. That's not how he recognizes his sheep. He recognizes his sheep as sheep because they act like sheep. They're not trying to be sheep. They are sheep, being sheeply. I'll stop saying sheep in a minute. In other words, how you treat others reveals who you truly are. A goat can look like a sheep because it can nibble the grass. But that doesn't make it a sheep. A sheep will nibble grass because naturally that's what comes by being a sheep. Goats generally eat higher up. They do eat the grass, but the point is there. Jesus died for us on the cross so that our sin is forgiven. And through that death, we can have a relationship with God. That's the way into heaven, to have faith in that. And from that, we become sheep and therefore act like sheep. How you treat others reveals who you truly are. Our identity is revealed by what we do for other believers. Some of the things I've read have said, oh, this is about charity. This one I'm not 100% sure on. About 90, 87 maybe. There's nothing wrong with charity, so I'm not discouraging you to not take part in doing things that are charitable. If you support Macmillan, shelter, whatever kind of that is, I'm not discouraging that. But in verse 40, if you look down, the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these, who? It's not rhetorical. Brothers and sisters of mine, you did not do, sorry, I've lost my place, you did for me. I don't think that's, he's kind of like some hippie, kind of like, yeah, my brothers and sisters of mine. I don't think that's how he's saying it. So I am pretty sure this is not about charity to all. I think this is about how you treat Jesus' believers, Jesus' sheep. I don't want to go off piece too much, but in Matthew 10, verse 40, Jesus sends out his disciples to tell the lost sheep of Israel that the kingdom of heaven has come. And he says this, anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me. Anyone who sees you are hungry and feeds you feeds me. And then I guess you could say anyone who does not welcome you does not welcome Jesus. Because in verse 45 of the passage we're looking at, Jesus says, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do it for me. Do you see that connection? Does that make sense? So how we treat believers reveals our identity. I look around at this congregation, and sometimes like I look and I think, well, I know most of you a little. I know some of you better. I know some of you really quite well, and yet I know some of you hardly at all. In fact, I don't really know some of you, and I've been here 12 years in this congregation. Do I know what is going on in your lives to be able to serve you? Do I talk to you properly after the service, or have you over for dinner or meet up with you? Do I inconvenience myself enough that I serve you as I should, as a sheep? We've all got things going on in our lives. I know that there's some of you with long-term sicknesses, chronic fatigue, depression, anxiety. Perhaps you're somewhat lonely. Everyone else has friends. Everyone else is busy. I don't necessarily fit in here. You could ask the question, how come if they're Jesus' sheep, why are they going through these harder times when they were hungry, thirsty, in need of clothing, estranged, ill, or in prison? They don't seem so blessed if they truly are Jesus' sheep. Maybe the question should not be how come they're going through this, but I guess this morning let's think about how can I humbly serve them, my brother and my sister? Are we willing to inconvenience ourselves or maybe hang out with people we wouldn't naturally fit in with? Your heart is revealed by what you do. We should want to be identified as Jesus' sheep. Looking at James 2:15-17, that's a great kind of passage if you want to look at the whole of that. It says this: suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, well, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Is Tim Dolan here? I don't think he is. I texted Tim Dolan the other week when he was in hospital. I texted him and said, how are you doing? Will you be coming out today? He replied, I'm not sure yet. They might be keeping me in for another night. I said, let me know if you do and I'll come and visit you. In my head, I was hoping he would say no, because I had things that evening that I wanted to do. Sorry. We should want to be identified as Jesus' sheep. I'm not always very good at it. I'm pretty sure you're not either. Sometimes we can be a bit goat-like, can't we? In truth, Tim was probably sat in hospital thinking, oh my goodness, of all the people at Avenue that you could send to me, God, why? yeah, he's not wrong. I asked Stu the other day, how his dad was doing. After he replied, there was not a lot I could say. There was no obstacle, physical way to feed him, clothe him, for what has happened with his dad at the moment. So I said, oh, I'll continue to pray for you, for your dad, for your mum. I walked away and I thought, you've made that promise. You will have to pray for them, or else what does that mean? Basically, if I say, oh, I'll pray for you, I'm pretty much saying, go in peace, keep warm and well fed. But what good is it? If we offer to pray for people, do it. Otherwise, the question is, do I really love Stu? Do I really care about his dad? And if I follow that through, do I really care about Jesus? Because of the whole kind of whatever you did for them, you did for me. Do I really think God can heal? I have prayed for them. I did keep that. Not blowing my own trumpet. But when we offer to pray for people, our brothers and sisters, then we need to be like sheep. We need to actually follow that through. We should want to serve each other, not for brownie points or for looking good to others. A sheep does not want to be a sheep. It is a sheep. Rachel and I played Mr. and Mrs. with some of Rachel's colleagues, and the question came up, who is nicer? If you've never played Mr. and Mrs., you stand back to back, you've got a paddle that's blue, a paddle that's pink, and if you think it's you, then you obviously hold up the blue one if you're male, and if you think it's the other, whatever. I held up blue very quickly. Rachel held up blue very quickly. I'm sure you know me well. I am the nicer person. But my wife often surprises me. She surprises me because you think you know her well, and then she does something sheep-like that quite frankly humbles me and encourages me to be more sheep-like. We had a part of our congregation, or one of our congregation, Rebecca, or Bex, as some of us knew her, who died not long ago. Her parents are from somewhere else and were coming up 2 days before the funeral to stay in her old house. And my wife turns to me and says, "We should offer to have them over for dinner. They won't have any food in the house and it will give them one less thing to think about." In my head, I'm thinking, no. No, that sounds like a difficult evening. Slightly awkward. What do you say to them? I don't even know them. As it turned out, it was a good evening together, and I believe, actually, that was a really good thing to do for them. Rachel did something similar to me 2 years ago. I don't think the Harrises are here this morning either. This is great. The Harrises had a fire in their house, which meant that they couldn't live in the house for a large period of time. I came home from work, and Rachel says, "I've spoken to Paula, and I've offered for the four of them to come and live with us for a few weeks." "I'm sorry? I'm sorry?" I mean, we know the Harrises. "But that's my home. That's my space." But she was right to offer it. We actually had a really lovely time. I'm not here to blow my wife's trumpet. I just know they are two great examples of where there was a sacrifice, a servant heart, and an observation of the least of these brothers and sisters, and she acted upon it. So I guess the question is for you as sheep here this morning, where are your opportunities to serve, to put your faith into action? What things or time periods do you hold on to as yours? I'm not saying that every minute of every day should be spent kind of looking out for your brothers and sisters, but our hearts, we should be looking for those opportunities that God has prepared for us in advance to do. And if we hear that need, don't just say to your brother, "Oh, you do well, keep warm." I guess we've got to look at our life and ask, am I a sheep? We should want to be identified as Jesus' sheep. The third, I think, slightly harder question. Well, am I a goat? So what? So what if I'm a goat? I was walking home the other day and a man rode past me on his bike. We passed at the point where on the path it said in clear white writing, "No cycling." I'm a bit weird like this, but some things annoy me. So I called after him, "No cycling." I tend to become quite British in these kind of confrontations. "No cycling." He turned around as he walked, cycled away. "So what?" I said, "There's a cycle path just here. It says no cycling." "So what?" And then he told me to go away. And I did. The light turned green, I had to cross the road. So what? Perhaps he's right. So what? Let's turn to verse 41. "Then he'll say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you didn't invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was ill and in prison and you did not look after me.' And they will answer, 'When did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or ill or in prison and did not help you?' He will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me.' And verse 46, then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. If you still say so what after that, then I think I've done something wrong in explaining this to you. Jesus, when did we see you ill? When did we see you hungry? You didn't. But you didn't see it because you're not my sheep. Sheep are sheep and therefore act like sheep. Goats are not sheep. They don't know the shepherd. Those who welcome you welcome me. In other words, if anyone doesn't welcome you, they don't welcome Jesus. Go back to Abraham. I'll make you into a great nation, promised land. Those who bless you, I bless. Those who dishonor you, I will curse. It's the same thing. How you respond to Jesus' sheep, to these brothers and sisters, is truly how you show your true colors, how you respond to God. It shows whether you're going to heaven, I guess you can say, for eternity, or to hell for eternity. Our character shows us for who we are. Mark, I've been coming to church for years now. I've been listening to this stuff for months, for years now. But how have you responded? I was part of a church in Bristol. I lived there for 4 years. We moved out of that church building for 2 years to have renovations. So we moved into a hall, a leisure centre. And we often shared that leisure centre with other people, parties, weddings, whatever. And one particular night, our pastor stood up to preach. And music could be heard from the room above us. And as he stood up, there was one particular song, and he took stock of the song, and he just said, "This is one of the saddest songs you'll ever hear. Frank Sinatra, I did it my way." People love that song. They love singing it at the tops of their voices, but the lyrics are incredibly sad. I live my life my way, how I wanted to. Therefore, I didn't obey God. I didn't want to know him in the slightest. I'm a good person. I treated people well. I was successful. People thought well of me. God's standard of success is very different from ours. Don't fool yourself this morning into thinking, "Ah, come on, Jesus, I'm a nice person." Don't fool yourself that God will accept you because you come from good stock. All nations will be gathered before him. You may be white. You might be British. "Oh, my grandmother was a Catholic. I believe in one God," you might say. "Good for you," says the Bible. "So do the demons, and they shudder." If that's the demon's response, what's yours? Verse 41. Then he'll say to those on his left, "Depart from me." This is the opposite to the "come" that we saw offered to the sheep. "Depart from me, you who are cursed." The sheep were blessed. Goats are cursed. The sheep were blessed by the Father. Meaning, God did all of the work, and all you have to do is believe it and know that you are saved, that your sin is forgiven. Blessed by the Father. Here, it says, "you who are cursed." Basically, they've done it to themselves. Their own actions mean that they, as goats, will be thrown, as it says here, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. The sheep had eternal life, if you look back, prepared for them since the creation of the world. It was prepared for them, if you look at the language used. The goats, however, through their actions, will join Satan and his angels in the fiery pit prepared for Satan and his angels. I.e., God really doesn't like Satan. He's going to prepare something that's really quite nasty because of the disobedience and the rejection that he showed to God. You might not think you're that bad, but because you haven't acknowledged Jesus, then you're going to be joining Satan and his angels. it's not much fun living in the world now when Satan is rampant here on the earth. But at least God is with us too. There are good things. In the fiery pit, you'll just get time with Satan and his angels. It's not going to be fun. Verse 46, then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous, the sheep, will go to eternal life. Some may see this as unfair. If you didn't welcome Jesus in, then why should he welcome you? The fire is eternal. This isn't just a little fire. This isn't a fire you go in and out of. It's not like a CT scanner. You go in and out a couple of times and then you come out and, ooh, that was nasty. But you're out of it now. This is a fire you stay in. You think this morning is warm and uncomfortable? It's nothing compared to what it will be. Surely that's unfair. Surely someone should occasionally dip a cup in some water and lean down to offer it to them. He will reply, verse 45, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. So why should someone lean down and give you a cup of water? Your actions have consequences. Is the eternal punishment unfair? Surely at some point they could be given a visitor, someone to lighten the mood. You know, maybe we'll be there with our family and our friends. It's going to be a good time. No. No. It's eternal punishment. Eternal separation from God. So don't just say, so what? We've got to respond. There is a coming judgment. Don't ignore it. You will be divided into two groups. Are you a sheep? If you are, your identity as a sheep is revealed by what you do for other believers. Your desire, therefore, is that you should want to be identified as Jesus' sheep, to serve your brothers and sisters humbly, inconveniencing yourself sometimes in order that they are looked after, supported, and loved. Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take the inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. What a wonderful invitation Jesus holds out to his sheep. If you're a goat, you don't have to be a goat. You need to hear this come that Jesus offers, this invitation. You need to recognize that eternal fire, eternal punishment is not something you want to experience. So come, respond. Repent, trust in Jesus, become one of his sheep, and enjoy the inheritance that God wants you to have. Let's pray. Father, thank you for what you did on the cross. Thank you for sending your Son, that we may have a right relationship with you, that we may be forgiven, that we may spend eternity in heaven with you. Father, let's not ignore that. Let's not just think to ourselves that we are good enough to get there on our own merit. Father, thank you that you've called what I think the majority of the people sat here this morning to be your sheep, to be guided by you, to listen to you, to follow you. Father, help us here who are those sheep, those believers, to rest in you, to trust in you, to know that you've got us in your hand and that we will one day take up our inheritance and be with you in heaven. And Father, we pray for our friends, we pray for our families, we pray for those that might be here this morning that might not have come to trust in you, or might have been pretending for some years now to be goats in amongst the sheep. Father, I ask that your Holy Spirit speak to them, really challenge their hearts to not just respond by saying, so what, and carry on. But Father, respond by recognizing they need you, recognizing that they want to be your sheep and that they would repent. Father, as we sing these songs, I pray that the words would really touch our hearts. We wouldn't just sing a song for the sake of it, but actually just really dwell on what the lyrics are trying to say, the praise that we need to give you, the response that we need to give you. Be with us as we continue in our chats after this service, not on a superficial level, but actually serving humbly those that are around us, learning how they're doing, what's happening in their lives, and genuinely being concerned for them and genuinely praying for them. Father, be with us all now. Amen.